All right, Leviticus chapter 18, and we're going to be all over. These are just some verses I want to start with, but let's pray first. Father, Lord, I need you. I pray you'd bless us, Lord. I don't even like talking about these things, but I know they need to be addressed, Lord, and the whole world is cracking up around us, Lord. We're seeing wickedness abound. We're seeing this sodomite movement just be aggressive, and we're seeing Christians go into the closet, the same closets the sodomites are coming out of. And Lord, I just pray for holy boldness by God's people. And Lord, let's stand fearless. Give us the power to stand fearless against this wickedness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's what I thought. Amen. All right. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind, and he lieth with a woman, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. We've explained those before, right? Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 5:11 tells us, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, as we look at this movement, I want to talk to you a little bit about how this kind of got started. Not how it got started in America, but just the recent history of some of this. I'm going to go back to some other things probably on Sunday, Lord willing, whatever the Lord leads. But there are some things that are going on right now that are transpiring because of some steps that were put in place by some wicked people long ago in this country. And we're going to go over a few documents tonight and then put it to scripture. Obviously, we understand the sodomite movement is wicked. But by the way, the reason I'm doing this is twofold. One, you need to know some of this information, and you've never even studied some of this out, never heard of it before, never figured out how we really got here. Okay? But those that don't study history are doomed to repeat it. They're doomed to repeat the same thing that has happened over and over again. Right. Right, exactly. Which is worse. And by the way, there's an argument out there today, and we're going to talk about this, not here really today, but kind of an apologetic type argument. We're going to deal with it in the future in one of these messages, because there's this thing where, well, everybody's a sinner, so sodomites are just sinners. So no. See, there's a difference. There is a difference in sin, by the way. Now, all sin qualifies you for hell. Okay? We're not disputing that. We understand that, okay? However, the sin of sodomy, the sin of being a sodomite, what happens? An abomination, judgment on a nation. God rains down judgment. And I'm going to tell you why he rains down that judgment. Because you defile the image of God and his creation. That's what you do. You destroy the image of God. And that's what androgyny is about. That's what the sodomite movement is about. It is about destroying the image of God and his creation. That's what they want to do. They want to erase God and destroy his image completely and pervert and change everything that he has ordered. Now, the president, Barack Obama, has decided that back in 2009, he decided that this month, June, would be Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. So I figured in honor of that, I would do my best all month to preach against it as much as I could. While it's out there, you know, might as well preach against it. Your children need to know how much God hates this. And no, God's not a tolerant God. He's not. But I want to read you some things here. I want you to understand. I'm going to read you first the proclamation of our president, Obama. His proclamation back in 2009. We're going to compare some of this to scripture. We're going to keep moving. And then we're going to talk about the homosexual manifesto. Okay? Did you ever know there was a homosexual manifesto? Did you know that? Well, there is one. And then we're going to talk about an article here that was made, that was a movement that was done to overhaul. It was called Overhaul Straight America. I know you haven't, you don't realize this, but you have been an experiment. The American people have been nothing more than a sick experiment to a bunch of devils. They played you like a fool. They played you like a violin. Except the song isn't very sweet. But that's exactly what they've done. It was all a setup. And it was all, and you were programmed through many different avenues and many different media platforms and other things to accept the sin of the sodomite movement. Of the homosexual movement. So Barack Obama says this in 2009. He said, 40 years ago, patrons and supporters of the Stonewall Inn in New York City resisted police harassment that had become all too common for members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender LGBT community. Now let's stop there for a second, because there really wasn't that community then. See, they formed that community. And they formed it as an alliance and to move as one unit all together. To battle you. You that are sitting here tonight, it was to battle and fight you. They weren't all unified like that. In fact, they were a bunch of rabid, wicked, devilish perverts that were breathing fire and hate out of how much they hated you. And how much they hate the family. And by the way, they hate it. They absolutely hate it. So does Barack Obama, by the way. Don't ever kid yourself. Out of this resistance, the LGBT rights movement in America was born. During LGBT Pride Month, we commemorate the events of June 1969 and commit to achieving equal justice under law for LGBT Americans. Now, there's only Americans. There's not LGBT Americans. We're just Americans, period, okay? If to look at it from that standpoint, all right? You know, first of all, you're a citizen of the state of Minnesota in that sense. But anyway, that's another argument altogether. But you, yeah, exactly. But you are a citizen, right? We're all just Americans. Let's put it that way. We're all just Americans. Not, there's no equal rights for this group. This is not a minority. This is not a civil rights issue. It's not a civil rights issue. Did you know that 60% well, anyway, I won't get to that. We'll talk about that some other time. I got to keep moving here because I know I'm going to run out of time if I don't. Okay, LGBT Americans have made and continue to make great and lasting contributions that continue to strengthen the fabric of American society. Wait a minute. How does destroying the family unit strengthen the fabric of American society? It doesn't. This is where you see this devil fork tongue, wicked devil up there speak, Obama. This is, and by the way, he's a product of that movement. An absolute product of that movement. Don't be surprised if the broadcast gets shut down. I got this on, though. This is not going to be politically correct. But I do endorse this message. There are many well-respected LGBT leaders in all professional fields. Now, I want you to remember these words. Because when we get to this homosexual manifesto, and you understand, you're going to understand that everything that he talked about back in 1973, they did. And this president pushed it even farther than any other. So just remember that. Remember the words. There are many well-respected, he says. Okay, the LGBT Americans also mobilized the nation to respond to domestic HIV/AIDS epidemic and have played a vital role of broadening this country's response to the HIV pandemic. Well, they caused it. They're the ones that caused it. By the way, you look at the statistics of homosexual young people. And the HIV and AIDS that they carry, it will shock you. It will absolutely shock you. due in no small part to the determination and dedication of the LGBT rights movement, more LGBT Americans are living their lives openly today than ever before. What does the Bible say about that? Ephesians 5:12, it says, "This, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." President goes on to say, "I am proud." Oh, there you go. You can stop right there because we understand. "I am proud to be the first president to appoint openly LGBT candidates to Senate-confirmed positions in the first 100 days of an administration." Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 49 says this, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride." See that? Not amazing, isn't it, how pride is attached to that right away? You can't shake that. You know why God hates this sin above almost any other sin? Do you know why he judges so harshly? Because it's built on and based on pride alone. That's its foundation. And God hates it. What did he say? God hates a proud look. It's an abomination to him. These individuals embody the best qualities we seek in public servants. Really? Well, yeah, if you understand what he's talking about, his best qualities are pedophiles. That's what he believes. And across my administration, in both the White House and the federal agencies, openly LGBT employees are doing their jobs with distinction and professionalism. Oh, that sounds stupid anyway, by the way. What an insult that would be. Okay, everybody, you're all human beings, okay, right? So, and this person can actually do their job. Wow, well, you're paying them for it. They ought to be able to do it. That's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This, remember that flattery we talked about on Sunday? That's what that is right there. Nothing but a bunch of antichrist flattery. The LGBT rights movement has achieved great progress, but there is more work to be done. You're still working. You got to take everything over, don't you? LGBT youth should now listen. I want you to hear these buzzwords, okay? Because there's buzzwords here that you're going to find out. Wait a minute, this was the plan all along. This speech was given in 2009. This proclamation was given in 2009. But the documents that I'm going to read to you were back in 1973. Wait a minute, 1973? Yeah, it takes a while to implement everything. But they're very patient. They're very patient. And they lie in wait. So listen to what he says here. The LGBT youth should feel safe to learn without the fear of harassment. They should feel safe. See what he's doing? It's not about whether it's right or wrong. It's about what do you feel safe? What about the fact that I wouldn't feel safe with sharing a bathroom? Okay, or my wife wouldn't feel safe with sharing a bathroom with some guy. But that safety don't matter, right? Some guy dressed up as a woman, but that safety doesn't matter? No, what you're talking about is acceptance. That's what you want. And you want participation. They don't want, they want participation. That's what they want. And I'm going to tell you, some of you may think you can hide yourself in a little cave somewhere and this ain't coming down and you're not going to see it, so why talk about it? But you are sorely mistaken and you are fooling yourself. And too many of you have been in the closet while the queers have come out and they're taking over everything. Why? Because people won't stand anymore. Because you don't preach like this. You don't say things. They don't say things like this anymore. Because they got to worry about their 501c3 status. They got to worry about everything else. So they can't say too much. Got to be careful. No. You got to be careful to serve the Lord. But you haven't been careful to serve the Lord. You've been careful to offend the king. That's not what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. So we are not careful to answer thee, O king. LGBT families and seniors should be allowed to live their lives with dignity and respect. Yeah, I didn't know that there was a squad that ran around hunting LGBT people. I do know of a squad that goes around the country and hunts up Christians that live for the Lord and homeschool their families and try to take care. I do know there's people that hunt those people up and harass those people and try to get and infiltrate their homes and take their children. I wasn't aware that they were doing that to these people, though. Huh.
You see the scam, though? They should feel safe. That's the game. Make him a victim.
Watch it. You're going to listen. It's going to click. He said, my administration has partnered with the LGBT community to advance a wide range of initiatives. I bet. At the international level, I have joined efforts at the United Nations. Oh, that's not surprising. To decriminalize. Listen to this. Now, I want you to remember everything that I'm saying. You try to remember as best you can, because you're going to, it's, when I start reading the other thing, little light bulbs are going to be boom, boom, boom. You're going to be, they're just going to be going off in your head. You're going to be like, wow. To decriminalize homosexuality around the world. So it's not enough that he did that for your country. You got to go ruin everybody else's too, you stinking rotten bum. You got to go all over the place, and you got to ruin everybody else's nation too, huh? Yep. Right. Here at home, I continue to support measures to bring the full spectrum of equal rights to LGBT Americans. I wasn't aware that they didn't have full rights. These measures include enhancing hate crime laws. Wait a minute. That's not a right. How do you determine whether somebody hates someone? Usually the Bible says all, if you commit a crime against somebody, if you hurt somebody, then if, unless it was on accident, you probably hated them. Right? Supporting civil unions and federal rights for LGBT couples. Outlawing discrimination in the workplace. What does he mean by that? He means that if you're a Christian, you own a business, the Sodomites are going to take over and the Muslims are going to take over. But the Christians are the ones that can't talk about their faith and take their Bible to school. Right? Outlawing discrimination in the workplace. Ensuring adoption rights. Now, bingo, I want you to think that's what it was all about the whole time. Why? Because they're a bunch of sick, devil-possessed perverts. That's what they are. And what do they want to do? They want your children. That's what they want. Why? Because you're not born that way, you're recruited that way. You're recruited. You're not born that way. You're recruited that way. That's what it's about. Recruiting. By the way, that is depopulation. Yeah, that's right. And ending the existing don't ask, don't tell policy in a way that strengthens our armed forces and our national security. Wait a minute. You think it strengthens them to have a Fruit Loop in the bed next to you? You think that strengthens? Yeah, I'd really want to be in a shower room against with somebody that was like that. I'd really want to be next to somebody that was like that. I want to bunk up with somebody that would make me feel safe. That would be productive. Are you kidding me? The two dumbest ideas ever. Women in the military, because it don't make anybody safer. It don't make anybody safer. It's a target. They're a target is what they are. That may cause a lot of trouble. What do you mean, preacher? Come on, man. 20 guys or how many ever guys around one girl? Come on, think about it. It's not hard to understand. This stuff is so simple. You would think they're doing it on purpose. I know, but we didn't have a Patriot Day, so Brother Paul didn't get to dress up in a uniform, prance around here, and we didn't all hail the chief. And we didn't have some woman come in, dressed in a uniform, dressed like a man. If I offended you yet, if not, hang on. You'll get offended in a minute. I'm just tired of Baptist churches compromising. I mean, you bring these, you say you're for standards and all these other things, and then you bring a woman in dressed like a soldier, dressed as a soldier, stand up before everybody, waving a flag and singing a song to her. I mean, stop being a fake and a phony. Anyway, he said, we must also commit ourselves to fighting the HIV/AIDS epidemic by both reducing the number of HIV infections. I got a good idea. Stop being a sodomite. It won't happen. Yeah. Right? Get married, get saved, get married, and live a long life with a wife. Amen. Amen. Then you know what? You don't have to. You know what? The funny thing is, you won't get any diseases like that. It's amazing how God's plan will actually work, right? Yeah. It's a very simple plan. Not very hard. Anyway, he says, these issues affect not only the LGBT community, but also our entire nation. As long as the promise of equality for all remains unfulfilled, all Americans are affected. You mean infected? If we can work together to advance the principles upon which our nation was founded, give me a break. You think our nation was founded upon a bunch of sodomites? Give me a break. It's ridiculous. How do people even believe this guy? How does anybody even listen to him? I'll tell you how. We got a bunch of brain dead zombies in America. That's how. Unbelievable. During LGBT Pride Month, I call upon the LGBT community, the Congress, and the American people to work together to promote equal rights for all, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. Okay, anyway, I don't want to read any more of this. He actually says, you know, I Barack Obama, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? All right. So that was his plan. I mean, that was his proclamation. So gay month came about, or queer month, or whatever you want to call it. And that's what came about in June of 2009. And now that's every month now. And last year we went and we preached outside of the Happy Pride Day. And we preached outside of there, and actually we can go in there. I found out we can actually go in there. They can't stop us from going in there. So we're going to take our banners right through that. I'm not going to be there, so anyway, I'll put you at harm's risk. You take your banner in there, and you can go right in there, and you can walk right in there. Brother Nate and Brother Aaron. And anyway, Dad will go in there. He was like Noah last year, screaming when rain was coming down. Repent! All these sodomites were around. It's raining! Dad's like a big old grizzly bear. Yeah! Repent! He's like... He's just running around everywhere. Like little fairies running around. Dad's out there like a big old grizzly bear screaming repent out there. It was great. Huh? Yeah, they were screaming. That's great. Anyway, I gotta keep moving. All right. So, back in 1987, this was reprinted by the Congressional Record of the United States Congress, okay, by the way. And it was first printed in the Gay Community News in February of 15th to the 21st of 1987. I'm reading you this because I want you to understand that this is their... Now, they claim this is just satire. It wasn't serious. Who jokes about this stuff? This is not a joke. No, this was a blueprint. Along with the other one, I'm going to read you. The other one is a real blueprint from 1973, but this just adds to it back in 1987. So I put these in reverse order, so you're stuck listening to this. So anyway, I'm going to try to be as careful as I can, but this is what this man said, Michael Swift. He said, "We shall sodomize your sons. Emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies." Now listen. Because this has all happened. I want you to listen. "We shall seduce them in your schools." "In your dormitories. In your gymnasiums. In your locker rooms." Remember Jerry Sandusky? Know who that guy is? High level. White elitist. How many boys, little boys they take to those adult locker rooms? "In your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your youth groups. Hey, let me tell you something. I told you this before, but I'll be quick about it. When I was down in Iowa, I was a lost guy, pot smoker, druggie, ran around the world. I walked in there and there was this guy in there talking to my niece and he was talking to everybody else. I looked at that pastor and I said, yeah, that guy's a Fruit Loop right there. I told my sister and I asked my cousin, I said, what's he saying to you? I mean, what this guy's. And he kind of was hinting around and saying a few things to her. And I was like, and I went to the pastor. I said, that guy's a homosexual. That kid's a homosexual. You got him in this youth group around all these kids. I mean, you guys can't see this kid's a homosexual. You couldn't spot that like that. What's he doing? Infiltrate and recruiting right there. Because he was supposedly, and the kids that were supposedly raped in that high school in Davenport by two kids in that school. Yep. In your sports arenas, in your seminaries. It's a good reason not to go for me. I don't need one. That's an even better reason not to go. In your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses. Hey, they got that accomplished, didn't they? In your truck stops, in your all-male clubs, in your houses of Congress. Well, we already knew that. That wasn't hard to figure out. Wherever men are with men together, your sons shall be our minions and do our bidding. They will be recast in our image. They will come to crave and adore us. What are you seeing in pop culture today? People are listening and they're liking these bisexual music artists, these androgynous people, and they are flocking to them. They are styling their clothes after them. They are adoring them. This doesn't sound like it was fake. Sounds like it was the plan. He says, women, you cry for freedom. You say you no longer are satisfied with men. They make you unhappy. Well, we connoisseurs of the masculine face and the masculine physique shall take your men from you then. Well, you ain't taking this one. No, definitely not that bus. He says, we will amuse them. We will instruct them. We will embrace them when they weep. Women, you say you wish to live with each other instead of with men? Then go and be with each other. We will give... I'm not going to read that part. Anyway, it's just, I don't need to. Anyway, all laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men. Well, we're pretty much seeing that, right? I know it's disgusting. I hate it too, but got to know about it. Got to understand what's going on right around you. Got to understand the agenda that's been pushed right around you. Everybody's been silent. Yeah, that is hate. Oh, you think this is, you ain't seen nothing yet, yeah. All laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed, which engenders it. We must be united artistically, philosophically, socially, politically, and financially. We will triumph only when we present a common face to the vicious heterosexual enemy. If you dare to cry, and I'm just going to read what he says. If you dare to cry faggot, fairy, queer at us, we will stab you in your cowardly hearts and defile your dead puny bodies. We shall write poems, and by the way, I'm skipping stuff that's like too much, okay? We shall write poems of the love between men. We shall stage plays in which men openly caress men. Didn't they do it? Brokeback Mountain? Other movies? Other plays? They're doing it? By the way, if you think this stuff ain't going on at churches, in Baptist churches, you're nuts. Man, I'm telling you. It is. It is. Because the filth of that television and wickedness that they've watched for years, those kids while going to them Baptist schools, still watching that filth and still taking it in, yeah, has an effect on them. We shall make films about the love between heroic men, which will replace the cheap, superficial, sentimental, insipid, juvenile, heterosexual infatuations presently dominating your cinema screens. By the way, they're doing it and people are accepting it. And I'm going to show you why they accepted it in the next letter that I read. We shall sculpt statues of beautiful young men, of bold athletes, which will be placed in your parks, your squares, and your plazas. We've seen it, haven't we? The museums of the world will be filled only with paintings of graceful, naked lads. By the way, what does Rome do? Go to St. Louis. No, Kansas, is it? Where is that walk that, is it Kansas, brother? When you walk the plaza, you walk down there. What is it? Naked kids everywhere. Statues of naked children everywhere. And worse, sculpted. Perfection. Yep. Our writers and artists will make love between fashionable. They'll make it fashionable, he's saying, that love between men and men is fashionable. And we will succeed because we are adept in setting styles. That's true. What are the major designers in the world? What are they? That's right. They're homosexuals. They're sodomites. That's what they are. And everybody follows their fashions of the world. We will eliminate heterosexual liaisons through the usage of the devices of wit and ridicule. Devices which we are skilled in employing. What does he mean by that? Well, they're going to magnify the fact that somebody has an affair with a woman. And they're going to make that look so bad. What is wicked? But they're going to make it look so bad. They're going to magnify it with their wit and their ridicule. So it just looks dumb. So people hate that. So they detest that so much as opposed to men with men. We will unmask the power. Listen to this. Now listen closely because they've done this. We will unmask the powerful homosexuals who masquerade as heterosexuals. What do you mean? Like Bruce Jenner, like other people, other movie stars and people, or other people in strategic places that were set up, build up a following, and then come out and say, well, I'm a queer. What's that? Like Ricky Martin and people like that, right? They build up a following, they build up a liking, people start to like them, and what do? Then they come out and say, well, this is what I am. They unmask them. It was the plan. It was the plot all along. You will be shocked and frightened when you find that your presidents and their sons, your industrialists, your senators, your mayors, your generals, your athletes, your film stars, your television personalities, your civic leaders, your priests are not the safe, familiar, heterosexual figures you assume them to be. We are everywhere. We have infiltrated your ranks. Be careful when you speak of homosexuals because we are always among you. We may be sitting across the desk from you. That wouldn't change what I said one bit. We may be sitting across the desk from you. We may be sleeping in the same bed with you. Well, I assure you that's not happening. Thank God. There'll be no compromises. So why do we make them? What's wrong with God's people today that they want to make them? Oh, don't talk too harsh about that. You can't get people come out of there and say, don't talk too harsh about that Bruce Jenner. Why? He's a wicked, sick, disgusting pervert. Oh, I mean, don't beat him over the head with the Bible. I'm not going to do nearly what God's going to do to him. Go back and listen to that furious wrath that God has for his enemies. He said, we are not middle-class weaklings. Highly intelligent we are, the natural aristocrats of the human race, and steely-minded aristocrats never settle for less. See that pride? Those who oppose us will be exiled. We shall raise vast private armies, as Mishima did, to defeat you. We shall conquer the world because warriors inspired by and banded together by homosexual love and honor are invincible, as were the ancient Greek soldiers. Nobody was invincible. Now listen to this. the family unit spawning ground of lies, betrayals. Now listen to the hate for the family. They hate you. Don't you ever fall for that nicey-nicey stuff, okay? It's not real. They'd rape a monkey if they didn't get caught. Just remember that. The family unit, by the way, it's called BCL in the Bible. The family unit spawning ground of lies, betrayals, mediocrity, hypocrisy, and violence will be abolished. The family unit, which only dampens imagination and curbs free will, must be eliminated. Why? Because they hate it. It stands opposed to their anti-Christ anarchy. That's why. Perfect boys will be conceived and grown in the genetic laboratory. They will be bonded together in communal settings under the control and instruction of homosexual savants. Now listen. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods are handsome young men. We adhere to a cult of beauty, moral, and aesthetic. All that is ugly and vulgar and banal will be annihilated. Since we are alienated from middle-class heterosexual conventions, we are free to live our lives according to the dictates of the pure imagination. I mean, this guy's speaking a lot. He's basically speaking the blueprint of what the Bible said was going to happen. What did God say? He gave them over to what? Vain imaginations. Their foolish heart darkened. And they're proud of it. For us, too much is not enough. The exquisite society to emerge will be governed by an elite compromised of gay poets. One of the major requirements for a position of power in the new society of homoeroticism will be indulgence in the Greek passion. Hey, he's tipping his hat to where their gods are. Any man contaminated with heterosexual lust will be automatically barred from position of influence. All males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual will be tried in a homosexual court of justice and will become invisible men. We shall rewrite history. History filled and debased with your heterosexual lies and distortions. We shall portray the homosexuality of the great leaders and thinkers who have shaped the world. We will demonstrate that homosexuality and intelligence and imagination are inextricably linked. And that homosexuality is a requirement for true nobility, true beauty. By the way, most of the high-level white elitists, I mean, they are pedophiles. George Bush, yeah, those like that. Many others. Around the world. All in history. It's been like that. That's been history. The Romans had their boys and their bathhouses. This issue's not going away. And I'm going to tell you what, it takes spiritual grit to preach on it. And it takes spiritual grit to listen to it. And to stand up and fight it. He says, we shall be victorious because we are fueled. That reminds me of George Bush, and we know we'll be victorious. Remember that speech? Remember that one? You remember that, Nate? In Congress? To be victorious because we are fueled with the ferocious bitterness of the oppressed. Well, he ain't lying, and they ain't oppressed, but he's talking about bitterness, and he's not lying. They got a devil in them that won't quit, many of them. Of the oppressed who have been forced to play seemingly bit parts in your dumb heterosexual shows throughout the ages. We, too, are capable of firing guns and manning the barricades of the ultimate revolution. Now, I'm done with that letter. Well, actually, no, I'm not. Tremble, hetero swine, when we appear before you without our masks. That's how he ended it. Sounds like a little bit of hate there. Just a little bit. It sounds like somebody like shaking their fist at God and all of his order in heaven and hating everything that God said. Does that sound about right? Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, it is. Now, something interesting here. There's two last words that he said that kind of clues us into where he got, where this guy's coming from. One of those things is he says, He says, the ultimate revolution. The ultimate revolution. Where did that phrase come from? Well, the ultimate revolution was used by Huxley. You know who Huxley is? Aldous Huxley. Given at the University of California, Berkeley. In the speech, Huxley admitted that his novel Brave New World and George L. Orwell's 1984 were not pieces of fiction, but were two different blueprints for controlling the population in a coming New World Order police state. See, I don't believe it's Orwell's dream. I believe it's Huxley's. Because Huxley's is way more smoother. You get too much bucking against Orwell's, but you know what? Huxley's, they're just going to play along. Play along. Bread and circuses. But the two were different. Anyway, so Ultimate Revolution was also a New Age NWO book written by Walter Starkey. From the author's website, he says this, because this is a new day in every way, the old laws, the old morality no longer works. But we, in particular our young adults, need new guidelines, a new morality, a morality of grace rather than of laws. Our shift from the third dimensional consciousness to the fourth dimensional reality. Why did he say that? Because he's telling you the spirit behind the New World Order. That, what is that spirit? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is that? The four you find in Ephesians that we're to war against. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's that fourth dimension that's rising. That's that spirit world that's invading to back this movement. Come on, folks, listen. Pay attention here. 2% of the people are controlling the entire agenda in the whole world. You think that's just because they're smart people? Or you think that's because they have a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience that is pushing it? That's why. That's why. That's right. Right. For no reason. They just want to yell. Why? Because they have that spirit in them. And this is the Antichrist spirit. And this is what this movement is. Make no mistake about it. I'll pull the mask off of it for you. It's all the satanic, same one world movement. And we're really going to delve into that on Sunday. But I gotta keep moving here. Anyway, reality requires how to that are not based on good and evil, but rather on the spiritual quality of one's life. The ultimate revolution outlines practical and very livable guidelines for today. It is a particularly enlightening book for young adults who are seeking a new way to live and believe. See, they knew they'd never change you older folks out there. They've been around a little while. That are like, we're not falling for this stuff. Are you nuts? They knew that that would never work. So what did they need? An ultimate revolution. Yeah. They started with daycare. That's right. That's right. So the ultimate revolution is a buzz phrase used by the New Age and New World worker bees. Hollywood and the corporate media have been traditional hotbeds for homosexuals. They are also hotbeds for the creation of the Antichrist propaganda, which is part of the ultimate revolution. Now, we're going to get right into this because I don't have time to breathe. Okay, there we go. All right, next. The overhauling of straight America was an article that was written. It was a blueprint that was done back in 1987. It was a must-read article. It was a blueprint and a plan. It was a plan. This was their plan. Now, who invented this plan? Well, a guy by the name of Marshall Kirk and Erastus Phil. That's actually not his real name. That's his pen name. But anyway, who were these guys and what were they all about? Well, let me first read this to you. This must-read article originally published in Guide magazine, November 1987, is the blueprint for the new global homosexual propaganda campaign to replace, listen, marriage-based society with a culture of sexual anarchy. And that's what you have. A 1999 book based on this outline titled After the Ball was become the Bible of the homosexual propagandists. Now, Marshall Kirk, who was he? He said, you know what? You're going about this, you rabid homosexuals, you're going about this the wrong way. We need a better plan because all you're doing is screaming in public and people aren't going to go for that. We gotta trick them. We gotta use mind control techniques on them. So you all and us from the last 50 years, we've been 40 years, we've been nothing more than a bunch of monkeys in a lab for them to do experiments on. And they've used the television, the movie screen, books, everything. And they had a well-orchestrated plan to push the homosexual movement. And it's worked. I'm going to tell you, it has worked. I'm not going to lie to you. It has worked. Plain and simple. Not on everybody, but on many. But who is Marshall Kirk? He's a neuropsychiatrist. Neuropsychiatry is a branch of medicine that deals with mental disorders attributable to disease of the nervous system. It preceded the current disciplines of psychiatry and neurology. It's been combined, though. So what did he do? He said, you know what? He's a graduate of Harvard and everything. And he said, by the way, I've got a master plan here that will push the homosexual movement and make everybody accept it. Here was his master plan. And let me tell you, if you recognize any of these things that have happened. The first order of business is desensitization of the American public concerning gays and gay rights. To desensitize the public is to help it view homosexuality with indifference instead of it with keen emotion. Ideally, we would have straights register differences in sexual preferences the way they register different tastes for ice cream or sports games. Has that happened? Yeah. On government documents and everything that you file for the government, they ask you that. They ask you those questions. They make you click a choice. Why? So you think there is a choice. See how that works? Big mind control scam. The way they register tastes for ice cream or sports games, he says. See, just the same way. You bunch of dumb monkeys. Listen, that's what they're saying to you. She likes strawberry and I like vanilla. He follows baseball and I follow football. No big deal. Same as a choice, just like anything else. See how that works? At least in the beginning, we are seeking public desensitization. Desensitization. And nothing more. We do not need and cannot expect a full appreciation or understanding of homosexuality from the average American. You can forget about trying to persuade the masses that homosexuality is a good thing, but if only you can get them to think that it is just another thing with a shrug of their shoulders, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. Whatever. It's just silly little queers out there. Well, how'd they do that? Television. We'll get to that. And to get to the shoulder shrug stage, gays as a class must cease to appear mysterious, alien, loathsome, and contrary. You got to go undercover. You got to go in. You got to blend in. A large-scale media campaign will be required in order to change the image of gays in America, and any campaign to accomplish this turnaround should do six things. Number one. Talk about gays and gayness as loudly and as often as possible. Now, what he means by this is in a neutral and non-confrontational way. Not to reprove it. Not to rebuke it. And he's going to explain that. No, not do that, but in a non-confrontational, non-judgmental way. Just bring it up. Just keep talking about it over and over again. So who'd they do it with? Who'd they do that with? Women. They talk to women, so women got to talking about it all the time. And they just talk. Just normalize it. Almost any behavior begins to look normal if you are exposed to enough of it at close quarters and among your acquaintances. The acceptability of the new behavior will ultimately hinge on the number of one's fellows doing it or accepting it. One may be offended by its novelty at first. Many in times past were momentarily scandalized by streaking, eating goldfish, and premarital sex. But as long as Joe Sixpack feels little pressure to perform likewise, and as long as the behavior in question presents little threat to his physical and financial security, he soon gets used to it and life goes on. The skeptic may still shake his head and think people are crazy these days. But over time, his objections are likely to become more reflective, more philosophical, less emotional. The way to benumb raw sensitivities about homosexuality is to have a lot of people talk a great deal about the subject in a neutral or supportive way. Open and frank talks make the subject seem less furtive, alien and sinful, more above board. Constant talk builds the impression that public opinion is at least divided on the subject, and that a sizable segment accepts or even practices homosexuality. Even rancorous debates between opponents and defenders serve the purpose of desensitization, so long as respectable gays are front and center to make their own pitch. The main thing is to talk about gayness until the issue becomes thoroughly tiresome. And when we say talk about homosexuality, we mean just that. In the early stages of any campaign to reach straight America, the masses should not be shocked and repelled by premature exposure to homosexual behavior itself. Instead, the imagery should be downplayed and gay rights should be reduced to an abstract social question as much as possible. So what you have to understand is some devil-possessed Harvard law or Harvard school graduates were treating you like you're a bunch of monkeys. And we're going to do experiments on you because we know you're foolish. And you guys are too stupid to figure out what we're doing, so we're just going to do it. And we're going to play you. And you're going to do exactly what we tell you to do. That's what they did. That's what they're saying too, by the way. He says, first let the camel get his nose inside the tent. Only later his insightful derriere. Unsightly derriere, excuse me. The average American household watches over 7 hours of TV daily. Those hours open up a gateway into the private world of straights. You see what he's saying? He's saying you watch 7 hours of television. So guess what we're going to do? We know it, so we're going to program homosexuality right into that 7 hours. Because we know that it's going to mess with your mind and you're going to eventually accept it. Those hours open up a gateway into the private world of straights through which a Trojan horse might be passed. So far, gay Hollywood has provided our best covert weapon in the battle to desensitize the mainstream. Bit by bit, over the past 10 years, gay characters and gay themes have been introduced into TV programs and films, though often this has been done to achieve comedic and ridiculous effects. On the whole, the impact has been encouraging. While public opinion is one primary source of mainstream values, religious authority is the other. Now listen, this is a game plan. When conservative churches condemn gays, there are only two things we can do to confound the homophobia of true believers. This is you. This is what they do to us. First, we can use talk to muddy the moral waters. What does that mean? That means you see all these preachers and all these priests and all these popes and all these other people. What do? Well, I want to have a dialogue. Let's open up a dialogue with the LGBT community. I have nothing to talk to you about but repent, because hell's hot, sinner. Hell's hot, sinner, repent. That's all I got to say to you. Hell's hot, sinner, you better repent. That's what I have to say to you. That's the only thing I have to say to you. I don't want to dialogue with you. You make me sick and I don't want to talk to you. That's not very nice, is it? What's that? I don't want to chat with you, no. No, I don't want to reach out. I want to preach the gospel and the law of schoolmaster so it crushes them. So what do we do to those? First, we can use talk to muddy the moral waters. This means publicizing support for gays by more moderate churches. Raising theological objections of our own about conservative interpretations of Bible teachings. And exposing hatred and inconsistency. You see that? What are they going to do? See? You don't have the moral authority because you got fornication there and somebody fornicates so you can let us into your church. No, we kick you all out. If you're a fornicator, hit the door until you repent. You don't get to stay here. Nope, you're out. Second, we can undermine the moral authority of homophobic churches by portraying them as antiquated backwaters, badly out of step with the times and with the latest findings of psychology. Well, that's me, because I'm way back, and I'm way out of time with all the modern day psychology. I think you're a bunch of sick, twisted people that need to get saved before you burn in hell for all of eternity. That's exactly what I think you are. And yeah, I'm one of them fire breathing preachers that screams and looks crazy, and I don't care what you think about me. God's word hasn't changed. Just because filthy, compromising man has, doesn't mean God has. He still is angry with the wicked every day. He is still going to judge that sin, and he's going to rain fire and brimstone down upon you for it. God is going to burn it up. This means publicizing support for gays. He says, so we can undermine them. Against the mighty pull of institutional religion, one must set the mightier draw of science and public opinion. The shield and sword of that accursed secular humanism. So what's pushed today more than ever? Secular humanism. What is the religion today? Secular humanism, which only leads to Luciferianism. That's all it is. It really is Luciferianism. But it's just an arm of Luciferianism is all it is. But secular humanism. Such an unholy alliance has worked well against churches before. On such topics as divorce and abortion. With enough open talk about the prevalence and acceptability of homosexuality, that alliance can work again here. So what do? They take liberal churches and they push their agenda and fill it with millions of dollars and make these people rich. And then there's just a crazy minute sector of us out here that stand against it. And that's okay, because that's how it's always been. There's always been just a small remnant that went and did exploits against the devil's kingdom and will continue to until there's no breath left in me, you wicked devils. Amen. Number two, portray gays as victims, not as aggressive challengers. In any campaign to win over the public, gays must be cast as victims in need of protection so that straights will be inclined by reflex to assume the role of a protector. Psychological warfare. You see it? It was psychological warfare. You want to defend that? Oh, don't pick on that poor homosexual. So what do? They show videos of kids walking around and they're flaming out and they're gay. They're homosexuals. And somebody's being mean to them. And somebody comes up and says, don't be mean to him. Stop bullying him. See that? They don't show we're in the bathroom where two of them are trying to rape some little boy. Come on! They don't show you that, though, do they? No, because that's reality. See, I don't like talking like that. I don't like it either, friend. But somebody's got to tell you, because you're living in a bubble and you don't think anything's going on, and it's happening all around you. If gays are presented instead as a strong and prideful tribe promoting a rigidly nonconformist and deviant lifestyle, they are more likely to be seen as public menace that justifies resistance and oppression. For that reason, we must forego the temptation to strut our gay pride publicly when it conflicts with the gay victim image. See, when everybody's at church on Sunday, they're running that parade down there. On Saturday, they have an event where they're a little bit more laid back. They're not as aggressive. They're not in all of their costumes and all of their, what are they doing? Oh, we just have Pride Day. We just have Pride. No, then they have the Pride Parade. And it's disgusting. And they're half naked and they're running around debauched and wicked with leashes on and all kinds of crazy things. But they don't do that, so you see that. Or Joe Public sees that, right? No. And we must walk the fine line between impressing straights with our great numbers on the one hand and sparking their hostile paranoia. They're all around us on the other. A media campaign to promote the gay victim image should make use of symbols which reduce the mainstream sense of threat, which lower its guard, and which enhance the plausibility of victimization. So what do? They show things like, they show videos of something that says queer on the back, or, you know, some other word or homosexual or something on the back, and they show a noose where a guy's hanging, and they show you a video like that. So in your mind, therefore, picked on, you can't do that to people, that's bad. Nobody's doing that to them. Right. Nobody's doing that to them. What are they doing? They're making that up. They're the ones doing that to people, believe me. It almost goes without saying that groups on the farthest margin of acceptability, such as NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association, must play no part at all in such a campaign. Suspected child molesters will never look like victims. So they hide those images from you. You see how they've changed the conversation? Now there are two different messages about the gay victim that are worth communicating. First, the mainstream should be told that gays are victims of fate, in the sense that most never had a choice to accept or reject their preference. The message must read, as far as gays can tell, they were born gay, just as you were born heterosexual or white or black or bright or athletic. Nobody ever tricked or seduced them. They never made a choice and are not morally blameworthy. What they do isn't willfully contrary. It's only natural for them. Bible says it's against nature. This twist of fate could as easily have happened to you. What they do, this is the psychological warfare they played on the American people. So now, how many people do you know that claim the name of Christ? We meet them out there on the street, and what do they say? Well, they're born that way. I think there's something to this argument that they're born that way. No, it's not. It's a plot that was planned a long time ago. And they infused that psychology into society. And you fell for it. Congratulations. Straight viewers must be able to identify with gays as victims. Mr. and Mrs. Public must be given no extra excuses to say they are not like us. In any campaign to win over the public, gays must be cast as victims in need of protection so that straights will be inclined by reflex to assume the role of protector. I'm not inclined. I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way at all. Are you inclined, Paul? I'm not inclined to that. Number three, give protectors a just cause. A media campaign that casts gays as society victims and encourages straights to be their protectors must make it easier for those to respond to assert and explain their new protectiveness. Few straight women and even fewer straight men will want to defend homosexuality boldly as such. Most would rather attach their awakened protective impulse to some principle or justice of law, to some general desire for consistent and fair treatment in society. Our campaign should not demand direct support for homosexual practices, should instead take anti-discrimination as its theme. Well, there you go. See, they got it off of the practice, and they put it on discrimination. So what is the talk? It's not whether it's sin or it's wicked. The talk is what? You can't discriminate against me. It is especially important for the gay movement to hitch its cause to accepted standards of law and justice because its straight supporters must have at hand a cogent reply to the moral arguments of its enemies. The homophobes clothe their emotional revulsion in the daunting robes of religious dogma. So defenders of gay rights must be ready to counter dogma with principle. Number four, make gays look good. In order to make gay victims sympathetic to straights, you have to portray him as every man. But an additional theme of the campaign should be more aggressive and upbeat to offset the increasingly bad press that these times have brought to homosexual men and women. The campaign should paint gays as superior pillars of society. All because they're gay, they're superior pillars of society. Number five, make the victimizers look bad. At a large stage of the media campaign for gay rights, long after other gay ads have become commonplace, it will be time to get tough with remaining opponents. That's us. That's us. You know that, right? Unless you ain't fighting. If you're not in the war, then you don't care about any of this I'm talking about. You don't even care. Go back to sleep. To be blunt, they must be vilified. Wait a minute, you mean these nice, sweet little people that they feel like they're so discriminated, they actually have a plan and had a plan to vilify us? I thought we were the mean ones. This will be all the more necessary because by that time the entrenched enemy will have quadrupled its output of vitriol and disinformation. Our goal here is twofold. First, we seek to replace the mainstream self-righteous pride about its homophobia with shame and guilt.
Shame on you for thinking that's bad.
No, it isn't going to work. Second, we intend to make the anti-gays look so nasty that average Americans will want to disassociate themselves with such types. Yeah. The public should be shown images of ranting homophobes, like me. Don't call me that. Because I'm ranting, Brother Nate. The public should be shown images of ranting homophobes whose secondary traits and beliefs disgust middle America. These images might include the Ku Klux Klan demanding that gays be burned alive or castrated. Bigoted Southern ministers. I'm not from the South, I'm up north. Bigoted Southern ministers drooling with hysterical hatred to a degree that looks both comical and deranged. That's what they would say this is. But they got a lot of help because guys like Husky out there tell them preachers that preach loud, they're carnival preachers. So thanks a lot, guy. You helped them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm done with that. Okay. That was free. It didn't cost anything. Bigoted Southern ministers drooling with hysterical hatred to a degree that looks both comical and deranged. Menacing punks, thugs, and convicts speaking coolly. Yeah, he said about the fags. I'm just using their words. I'm quoting them. They're sodomites, so I'm just quoting their words, okay? That's all I'm doing. They have killed or would like to kill a tour of Nazi concentration camps where homosexuals were tortured and gassed. A campaign to vilify the victimizers is going to enrage our most fervid enemies, of course. But what else can we say? The shoe fits, and we should make them try it on for size with all of America watching. Number six, solicit funds. The buck stops here. Any massive campaign of this kind would require unprecedented expenditures for months or even years. And by the way, did you know that homosexuals in America, they are some of the richest people in America? So for them to equate themselves with blacks, the 60% of homosexuals make over a certain amount of money a year that is just way above the middle class. They are upper class. 60% of them. Do you know that only 2%? You know only 2% of black folks make in that range, and they're trying to compare themselves to black people that have suffered, that have been through things. Think about it. Did you know that over 60% of those same people those sodomites go on overseas trips? And did you know only 2% of black people ever make it out of the country? You listening? That's factual. Wall Street Journal, look it up. Yep, no comparison at all. But they try to make themselves a minority and a civil rights issue. No, it's not. You're a bunch of liars. Yeah, but I mean, they're trying to make themselves a persecuted minority. This is a tricky problem for TV and radio and mainstream press. Many impresarios of the media simply refuse to accept what they call issue advertising. Anyway, so he goes on to explain that. I'm not going to go into that. Because more straightforward appeals are impossible, the National Gay Task Force has to cultivate quiet backroom liaisons with broadcast companies and newsrooms in order to make sure that issues important in the gay community receive some coverage. But such an arrangement is hardly ideal, of course, because it means that the gay community's image is controlled by the latest news event instead of by careful design. And then they go on to say, they go on to talk about movies. You really ought to be in the pictures. Visual stage. As for television, radio, more elaborate plan may be needed to break the ice. For openers, naturally, we must continue to encourage the appearance of favorable gay characters in films and television shows. Daytime talk shows also remain a useful avenue for exposure. You see how they did all this? They did all this. They followed his blueprint. But to speed things up, we might consider a bold stratagem to gain media attention. The scheme we have in mind would require careful preparations, yet it would save expense even when it elevated the visibility and stature of the gay movement overnight. Through such a political campaign, the mainstream would get over the initial shock of seeing gay ads, and the acceptability of such ads would be fortified by the most credibility context possible. And all this would be accomplished before non-electoral advertising was attempted by the gay community. Anyway, visual stage, peekaboo advertising, they call it. We're almost done here. At this point, the gay community has its foot in the door, and it's time to ask the networks to accept gay sponsorship of certain ads and shows. Timing is critical. So he goes on to say, basically, we're gonna push these ads. We're gonna push things. We're gonna push advertisers, and they did all that. And number three, they said they're gonna roll out the big guns. At this point, our tactics will have carved out, slice by slice, a large portion of access to the mainstream media. So what then? It would finally be time to bring gay ads out of the closet. We have sketched out here a blueprint for transforming the social values of straight America. At the core of our program is a media campaign to change the way the average citizen views homosexuality. And let us repeat, time may be running out. The AIDS epidemic is sparking anger and fear in the heartland of straight America. As the virus leaks out of homosexual circles and into the rest of society, we need have no illusions about who is receiving the blame. The 10 years ahead may decide for the next 40 whether gays claim their liberty and equality or are driven back once again as America's cast of detested untouchables. It's more than a quip. Speak now or forever hold your peace. See, they had a plan all along, and they worked their plan. Both of those things were back in the 80s, by the way, when Ronald Reagan was president. Bohemian Grove. What Nixon said about the Bohemian Grove, I can't repeat his words, but Nixon informed what it was about. Bunch of homosexuals, bunch of sodomites running around, naked white men running around. That's what it was. Yeah. Not Ronnie, not Ronald Reagan. He was a Christian. Yeah, he went to the Bohemian Grove. He was a Christian. Yeah, lots of Christians hang out at the Bohemian Grove. Man, wow. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but this was their plan. And I'm sorry, some of it is a little graphic in the beginning of it, but it wasn't. You know, I left a lot of stuff out. But anyway, the point is that they worked their plan. Everything they said they were going to do, they did. And that's why you have what you have today. Now, let me tell you, number one, unplug from it. Amen. Don't listen to that garbage and allow modern television to consume your mind and to program you. And no, we are not supposed to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You, those people can never brainwash me. They can never do what they did to people. Why? Because I've been saved and I turned it off. Amen. Everybody else that continues to listen to that or has listened to that in the past, you've been programmed to accept it. And there is way more acceptance of it now than there was 50 years ago in mainstream America. And how did they do it? Just like they said they were going to do. Just like they said they were going to do. The overhaul of straight America. And that's exactly what they did. And in their homosexual manifesto, that's exactly what they did. And what your president said that he was doing. He just implemented it even farther. And the only ones running scared right now are the born-again Christians that are running away. And they're not fighting anymore. The church has given up. They're just letting them into their congregations. They're letting them into their churches. They're ordaining them. And there's only going to be a few left that have a silent voice. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm glad this is going all over the place. I'm glad people are hearing it all over again, all over the place. They need to hear it. Because you know what? Most preachers are not going to ever talk about it. Because it's taboo. And hey, I don't like talking about it. Oh, you like talking about that? No, I don't. I hate talking about that stuff. But you know what? It's in your face right now. That's what it is. It's right in your face. The whole month is dedicated to them in the United States of America, here, right here, where the greatest revivals in the world took place, right here in America. We have a month that is dedicated to them, dedicated to what God hates. And it was all a plot and a plan, but the plan goes back further, and we're going to talk about that Sunday. Father, thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that this warning would go out and be used. And I pray we would gird up our loins of our mind, and we'd gird up our loins as men and be strong and preach the truth out there. Lord, there's a Wicked Pride event coming this month. And Lord, I pray as I'll be on the road, I pray that these men here would boldly stand up and preach the word of God outside of that and warn those sinners to flee from the wrath to come. Dear God, they have no clue what they're in store for. I couldn't speak hard enough. I couldn't preach loud enough tonight. I couldn't preach hard enough against that movement, Lord, compared to the wrath that you're going to pour out upon them. Dear God, save sinners, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.